We're all gathered here today due to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had many exceptional qualities, apart from being a great scholar, a great singer, able to interact with so many different kinds of people. He was also a good cook. Probably in it, you'll find in one letter Srila Prabhupada writing to devotees in New Vrindavan, he told them how to build houses from wood. He gave the design also. Remarkably, Srila Prabhupada was expert in so many fields. But the particular quality of Srila Prabhupada that has brought us here today is his Paramartha Nishtata. Para means of others. Artha means benefit. In this context it means benefit, welfare, that which is meaningful for the anishtha of his attachment. Srila Prabhupada would often quote from Prahlad Maharaj, Prayena Muna, Prayena Munaya, Prayena Deva Munaya, Swami Mukti Kama, Monam Charanti Vijane, Na Pararta Nishtama, Naitan Vihaya Kripanam Deva Moksha Eko, Na Nyam Tat Asya Sharanam Pramatam Mukhasha. Prahlad Maharaj said that there are many munis, thoughtful persons. Srila Prabhupada sometimes translated muni as a thoughtful person. Thoughtful means specifically thoughtful about the purpose of life. This is the best kind of muni. There are other munis like Bharat Muni who are thoughtful about dance, drama, and all these things. The real muni is the one who aspires to be sthitadhi muni, one of fixed intelligence, fixed in understanding the purpose of life. So, most Prahlad Maharaj says, Prayena Deva, Munaya, Swami Mukti Kama, most, O Lord, Deva, most of the munis, they are interested, or they're desirous of their own liberation from material existence. Naitan Vihaya. Monam charanti vijane nakarata nishya. They accept vows of silence and go to secluded places because they are not parārta nishya. They are not interested in the welfare of others. They might have some slight interest, you know. Not very interested. Naitan vihaya kipanāde vimokṣa eko. Prahlad says, I am not going to reject for myself. I am not going to reject all of these people for my own benefit. But, it's implied that he will try to help others, knowing that for persons wandering in the material world, there There is no other shelter but the lotus feet of Krishna. So this Srila Prabhupada, by his deep compassion for fallen conditioned souls, preached Krishna consciousness all over the world and took all difficulties to do so. When Srila Prabhupada was translating the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the section concerning Nrisimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj, then Harikesh Maharaj, who was the secretary at the time, noted how that although Srila Prabhupada was always in a mood of his whole being was defined by the mood of compassion for others, but he, at that time in particular, he seemed to enter very deeply into that consciousness and identify very strongly with the mood of Prahlad Maharaj in wanting to save others. Prahlad would also not mince his words. There's an English saying, mince his words, which means to speak in euphemisms, which means to say things politely so as not to hurt others. But Prahlad didn't do that. And actually, Krishna doesn't do that, and no sadhus in history do that. It's all the sadhus, and whoever sadhus, they all speak straightforwardly. Another verse of Prahlad Maharaj in this regard, for saving others, that Srila Prabhupada also quoted many times. No, I vote Vijay para durateya vaitaramas tadvirya dhyana mahamrita magna chitta shocheta to vimukha chitta sa indriyanta maya sukhaya bharam udvato vimura. He uses the word vimura. These great fools. He says that, as far as I am concerned, I am quite happy. I am not worried about incarceration in this material world, because I'm always absorbed, even though I'm in this material world, I'm always absorbed in the happiness of the glorification of your glories. He's speaking to Nrisimhadev. So I'm happy, even though I'm in this place of unhappiness. But I'm unhappy at the unhappiness of others. These fools and rascals, Srila Prabhupada says it, these fools and rascals, who are inimical to serving you. And are in this way burdened by Maya. They are carrying the burden of Maya. So this festival, now we are entering the last function of this festival. After this will be the initiation ceremony, and after that also the devotees will depart. We've come together due to Srila Prabhupada's Pararta Nishtata, and we should go in that spirit. Many people, they come to holy places to live, to take shelter of a holy place. So it's a very pious commitment, especially in the modern age. People, they mostly want to go to places of sense gratification. We find that in the Western countries this process, well, except in Eastern Europe where communism was going on, but in Western Europe America, the already developed countries, the process of urbanization is complete. And in India, it's going on rapidly. The farmers are being killed. The farming profession is being killed. No one cares if they're committing suicide. Probably very happy. So we want the traditional farming life to be finished so everyone can go to the cities and the farmland can be taken over by big companies. They're inducing people to go to the cities. You will get sense gratification. We are trying, on Srila Prabhupada's order, some of us are trying to reverse that process. From urbanization to, how would you say, ruralization. Taking people from the cities to the village. For the purpose of practicing Krishna consciousness in a better atmosphere. In every way, better atmosphere. So Srila Prabhupada said that people who are accustomed to this urban way of life, they will not be able to live in a village unless they have bhakti. Unless one is spiritually advanced, or at least has some level of spiritual development. In a situation where there's no sense gratification or no gross, immediate touch of a button sense gratification, then people feel disturbed. They won't like to stay. The city life is always disturbing. But people who come to the village from the city, they feel disturbed because there's no disturbance. They feel, what's wrong? They feel unnatural. I'd heard that in America, you can purchase for people who go from the city to a peaceful place for their holiday. They get a few days release every year from their prison office or prison factory or whatever it is. So they have a recording that they can play at night of traffic and sirens and people screaming. Otherwise they can't go to sleep. It's just too unusual for them to have silence. So there should be some constant disturbance and then they feel, oh, very nice. Therefore Prahlad Maharaj says, he feels very sorry for these people who, they're disturbed if they're not disturbed. People are running to the cities for sense gratification. That the prospect of being able to go to a movie. People go from the villages. Progress of modern life. People from the villages, we see in India, they'll take a bus from the city, driving 2 hours to go to the city to watch a movie. But if you live in the city, you can have a DVD store next door and choose your movies and watch them late into the night. And then get up late as possible, and then crowd in the local train and enjoy life. So people are mad after sense gratification. It's madness. Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he would be visibly sad to see how people are rushing to work. It's a common scene in the Western countries in the morning. people converging, rushing to the station to catch their train. Going, I used to see in my childhood, because in one of the places I lived, the house was on a road which was just going down to the station. So every morning we'd see these businessmen and stockbrokers walking, rushing to the station. And I guarantee that in all the years I lived, I must have seen hundreds of people going every day. I never once saw any of them smiling. All had a very grim look on their face. Like they're going to battle. Actually, they were. It's like most of them were stockbrokers, I guess. So it's every day it's very tense. And how you can use your wits to make a little money to keep your miserable little household running on. Miserable, just miserable. Srila Prabhupada is very sorry to see this. So those of us who are very happily enjoying this festival, I trust you're all very happy. Seems like that. Should be happy. If we're not happy, there's something wrong. Everyone knows that. The whole world is running on the principle that if we're not happy, there's something wrong. And therefore people are trying to make adjustments. But everyone accepts a certain level, just like the people rushing to work. They take it for granted that they have to live miserably most of their life. But at least when I come home after rushing down to the station, standing in the train because there's no room to sit down, reading your newspaper, very carefully not smiling because no one's allowed to smile. It's against the rules. It's against the etiquette to smile. Then going to work all day. Then when I come back, at least I have a comfortable chair to sit in. So he has some relief from the discipline. So he accepts that as his happiness. I live in a prestigious neighborhood. I have a comfortable chair. And I sit down and my dog comes and licks me. My dog loves me. Someone loves me. So, some happiness. Everyone is looking for happiness, but they don't find it. No one is finding it. But this is happiness. What is the proof of Krishna consciousness? The proof is you come and join us. Srila Prabhupada would say this. You come and join, then you can see. Pratyakshavagamang dharmyam susukam kartam abhyaya. Very happy. Ongoing happiness. Not stopping. Not stopping, very happiness. This can susukam kartam abhyaya. Activities that are performed with non-stopping, high level of happiness. And susuka means intense happiness and a pious happiness also. It's not the happiness that is derived from slaughtering animals, exploiting women, taking intoxication, or any such things. It is a happiness that is derived from forswearing all of these and chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. So we should be happy. If we're not happy, there's something wrong. Everyone in the world knows that. So if we're not happy in Krishna consciousness, then something is wrong. We could conclude that Krishna consciousness doesn't work. Everyone else is chanting and dancing. They're in Maya. Or there's something wrong with me. So if we're not happy in Krishna consciousness, then we have to consider that either something is wrong with me or there's something wrong with Krishna consciousness. As far as I have seen, because in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna invites us to make our own judgment. That Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttama. This is the topmost knowledge, the topmost secret, the purest. But Krishna says that you can accept, you can experience. It's to be personally experienced. It's not something. I'm not just saying it. You experience it yourself. So Srila Prabhupada said, you come and you join and you see. This is the proof. So we should feel happiness. This is the proof of Krishna consciousness. That we're happy without meat, fish, eggs, gambling, intoxication, not even tea. Most of the sadhus in India, they take tea. Except it, there are not so many sadhus in South India. I suppose the South Indian sadhus take coffee. But something, some sense gratification is there. No sense gratification. But happiness. Because that is the happiness of the soul. The happiness of chanting Hare Krishna. So devotees, this experiencing that happiness, we are all experiencing. We can all say that. And we can all say that it's not just me, but Krishna himself says, and Prahlad Maharaj says, and all great exalted personalities, they point to this level of happiness, where we can be completely happy without sense gratification. Actually, there is no other way to be happy. As much as we're searching for sense gratification, that much we must be unhappy. We can personally experience that also. That if we're in Krishna consciousness, but if we're at the same time trying to enjoy sense gratification, then we feel disappointed. And even we can see, just from the faces of devotees, if they're looking miserable, there's no luster, then we can understand they're thinking of sense gratification. You may think, well, the Kamis, they look more happy. That's because they're fully dedicated to the principle of sense gratification. They feel happy. Why? What is that happiness? That is the same happiness as pigs feel. Pigs' happiness. The pig also looks very happy. Because they have all facility for sense gratification. In the material world, the pig form of life should be the best. It's the, as far as sense gratification is concerned, the pig form of life is the best. Because eating, no problem for eating, especially in India. The pigs, they get fresh, hot breakfast every morning. And all different varieties of flavors. Especially, they get masala flavor. People eat lots of chilies, so they get very tasty breakfast. Very nourishing. See, they become very fat. And they have all facility for sex. The little piglets will drink the milk from their mother, and then they'll crawl out and jump on the back of their mother. So they want to have sex with their mother also. So for the pig, it's all sense gratification. With no rules, no regulations, no going to the office, no working hard, no laws they have to follow, no taxes to pay. Wonderful love. Just full sense gratification. There comes a time when they are caught. They don't know that they have an owner. Someone is their owner who will come and catch them. And at that time they will scream. They scream like a baby. It sounds like a baby screaming, because they know now is the time for my throat to be cut. And then someone will eat my this fat that I've been carefully working to develop, this fatty body. Now someone will take that and eat that, and then my brother will be eating me in a changed form. Because the human will eat the pig's meat, then he'll pass stool, and then the brother will come and eat that. So, devotee seeing this feels compassion. Even if we're not very advanced ourselves, but we can experience and understand how our position is much better than others who are not in Krishna consciousness. So, following in the mood of Srila Prabhupada, this parata nishtata, that we should be attached to the welfare of others, considering how others can be benefited. Again, this should not be an egoistic way. That it's possible to have a semblance of being a preacher, or being a book distributor, or being a devotee, but at the same time cultivating egoism. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns about the weeds that choke the growing creeper of devotional service. He speaks of, what is that? Nishedacha kutinati jiva himsa. These performing forbidden activities, duplicity, envy of others, envy of other jivas, labha, puja, pratishtha, jato upashakaja. The desire for money, the desire to be worshipped, the desire to be honored. Even though one is practicing devotional service, one's devotional service can be spoiled if one engages in activities which they are forbidden because they spoil devotional service. That's why they're forbidden. So if we engage in them, it spoils our devotional service. That's why we should follow strictly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has warned them. I often hear that I am very strict, but I'm just repeating what is given by Rupa Goswami, what is given by Srila Prabhupada. There's a misunderstanding that, well, we just chant Hare Krishna and that everything else, that's it, that's all you do. It doesn't matter what else you do. This is a misunderstanding, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself points out that our chanting of Hare Krishna will be spoiled by nishid acha, by activities that are against the principles of devotional service. So we may think that what's the harm if I watch TV now and then? Everyone else is doing that. Everyone else is not Krishna conscious. That's why we stop doing it. Or everyone else is eating some carny food and worshipping demigods. That's why they're in the material world. This is forbidden. We should know what is forbidden for devotees and not do that. Nishidacha kutinati kupniti. In Hindi, that's kupniti. In Bengali, kutinati. This duplicitous behavior, showing ourselves to be to have one kind of intention, but actually having another intention. We may not even know we're doing it. If we're not very clear and honest with ourselves. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur identifies Saralata, Saralta in Hindi, or simplicity, as the prime or the first qualification of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is not duplicitous, just very straightforward. We are here to serve Krishna, so we should serve Krishna. Nothing extraneous. No plans, no schemes for doing anything else. No schemes for promoting ourselves as devotees while trying to take advantage of others. A devotee is Paratha Nishtha, concerned with the welfare of others. His own well-being is taken care of, but he understands that his well-being, his own well-being, does not result from food, roti, kapra, makan, material facility. But his well-being means Natividu Swartha Gatinghi Vishnu, to be fully surrendered to Vishnu. So he doesn't have any other scheme or plan or program. Simply, we're all here to serve Krishna. Nishidacha Kutinati Jive Hinsha. Envy of others. Everyone in the material world is envious of others. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur defined within the envy of others, or literally violence to others. Well, we think that, well, devotees, they give that up because they don't eat meat. So automatically violence to other living beings is stopped. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave that within the context of devotion, of those who are already practicing devotional studies, jiva hinsa means to stop the preaching of Krishna consciousness. That is an envious activity. So if in the name of bhakti, we think that we should stop, people won't like it if we distribute Prabhupada's book, so we should stop distributing it. Strange proposal. Better they don't like it, but they get the book. They may not like it, but they need it. The doctor sees the child is the doctor comes with a big needle. And this is in demoniac medicine. I'm not saying that all doctors are demoniac, but the system of medicine is demoniac. And the child screams, seeing the big needle which he knows is about to be jabbed into his tender skin. And the doctor doesn't think, oh, the child won't like it, so I won't stick the needle. He sticks it in, and the child screams, and the doctor doesn't care for the screaming at all. So people, they may not like the preaching of Krishna consciousness, and we could be better accepted among the vimurhas, the fools and rascals who are living miserably in this world. We could be better accepted among them if we don't disturb them. But it's required to disturb them so that they can be benefited. So to stop the preaching of Krishna consciousness, for what? For any reason, is violence against the living being, against all living beings. Then lava, the desire for material gain in the name of devotional service. But, money is coming for Krishna's service. I'm also Krishna's servant. Krishna likes to, he likes that his devotees are well situated. Krishna says, for those who are fully absorbed in me, I provide whatever they need. So I'll save Krishna the trouble and just take some of the money for myself. See, it's all devotional service. We don't have to put Krishna to any trouble. So money is coming for Krishna's service. So I'll take some for myself because I have to serve Krishna. I've several times heard devotees telling me that I'm building a very big house so that we can invite devotees. Devotees they'll invite maybe once or twice a year, and the rest of the time they have to go to all the trouble of maintaining that big house just so that, but we're doing it for the devotees. We have a very big house, it's all for the devotees. So this is a mixture of love, kutinati, duplicitous behavior. Everything, if our motive is everything for Krishna, our motive should be everything for Krishna. Nothing for me. Love, puja, I will be worshipped. See, one day I can also be a big guru. And I'll sit on a big seat. And people will come and worship me. And they'll offer me money and give me all nice food to eat. And I'll be famous. And my name will be on the internet. And it'll be wonderful. I should become a big guru to serve Krishna better. So the idea that I should be worshipped, I should be honored, it destroys bhakti. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, he showed his disciples, he taught them how to worship him. At Vyasa Puja in Japan, Srila Prabhupada was there with some of his disciples. And the devotees, they didn't know what to do. Srila Prabhupada had actually brought some of his disciples to the Vyasa Puja ceremony of his godbrother, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar. And I suppose they were supposed to learn from that, but the devotees hadn't learned. So Srila Prabhupada, he said, "Where? What's the festival? There should be this and there should be that. Where's the pushpa?" Pushpa means flowers. There should be flowers in the Vyasa Puja. But devotees, they were very, in the early days especially, devotees were very prasad conscious. So they knew the word pushpa as pushpana. They knew the word pushpa in relation to pushpana, which is an opulent rice preparation. So the devotees went in the kitchen and cooked some pushpana. Rice cooked and then fried with some cashews and some raisins and some cobra, coconut pieces, copra. And they brought that. Here's pushpa. Srila Prabhupada said, "Okay, tomorrow I will show you how to do it. Forget today. We cancel it today. Tomorrow I'll show you how to do it." So Srila Prabhupada showed how his Vyasa Puja ceremony should be performed for the benefit of his disciples. He wasn't desirous of being worshipped, but he knew that it was important that his disciples do so. But if one is desirous that I should be worshipped, then that spoils bhakti. So we should be careful of that. We should always be checking. What are our motives in devotional service? We should not be materialistic. It does not look good for a devotee if a devotee is materialistic. Of course, householders, they have to have some arrangement. And by the arrangement of the material energy, they may, from their previous activities, be living in a relatively opulent situation. But a devotee means he's surrendered to Krishna. So he's not interested in making arrangements for his sense gratification. Devotees should not be materialistic. If you happen to have money more than you need, no one thinks that they have money more than they need. Everyone thinks, I don't have enough. I need more. Especially in the modern age, there are so many needs. Always more and more needs. TV is promoting, you need this. Everyone needs a cell phone, isn't it? In modern life, a cell phone is a necessity. No one had a cell phone 20 years ago. There was no need for it, because they didn't exist. But nowadays, everyone needs a cell phone. Everyone needs electric light. Everyone, so many unnecessary things. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada recommended, go and live on the land and just see what Krishna has given you, what you need. We don't need all these things. We need only to live simply and chant Hare Krishna. But you see, even our devotees, they get disturbed if they go to a situation where there's no electricity, no cell phone, no computer. And they feel, oh, it's horrible. And sometimes they, within like 1 or 2 hours, they run back to the comfort of the city. But these are all unnecessary. What do we need? If we see what we actually need, we don't need very much. So if we have extra, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us a nice formula. Jodi thake bahudhan, tobe hao akincha, vaishnava kara upakar. If you have much wealth, be akincha. Don't think that anything belongs to you. Don't be attached to it. But utilize that wealth in the service of the Vaishnava. So don't be materialist. Don't think. I've got so much wealth, but I'll get more. I need more. Let me get more and more. This is the demoniac way of thinking. Rather, let us think. Let us give for Krishna's service. Actually, we often find that those who have less economically, they often give more than those who have plenty. We often find that people who don't have much money, they'll give like almost everything they have. And then someone who's very rich, so they'll give just a small amount. Someone may have a crore and they'll give 1,000 rupees. And someone has hardly anything and they give 50,000 rupees. And it's a real sacrifice for them. They'll save up for months and months and months and give that all. And someone else, there's so much money but there's so much attached. They are just like to give a very little. And feel the pain of giving it. Or they'll want, now I gave it, now I have to have my name in the souvenir, And everyone should know that I gave this money. So this is not a Vaishnava attitude. Devotees should not be materialistic and think that I have to get more money. My sons, they should earn lots of money. If you have sons, give them to Krishna. They're not yours anyway. They're given by Krishna. Give them for Krishna's service. That's proper for Vaishnava, Grihasthas. You have many children. This modern theory that hum do hamare ek, or hum do hamare do. And if you have more than two, people think there's something wrong with you. Jai Damodar Prabhu, his second child was born. He was in his office. People were surprised. Oh, you're having two children? So many. You already had one son. So why have more? You have plenty of children, but just give them all to Krishna. Don't send them for becoming pigs in a slaughterhouse. The pig becomes very fat and then he's slaughtered. So have children and send them for Krishna consciousness. Of course, if they come, if you raise them on Lay's crisps and Kami bread and TV, then they're not going to come. They're going to go to the slaughterhouse. They'll want to become pigs. So if you raise your children as pigs, then you are responsible. If you raise them as if you try to make them devotees, then your duty is done. Srila Prabhupada, he tried to raise his children as devotees. His wife had another idea. She won that one. But he made so many children. As he said, now I have so many children without the botheration of a wife. So, don't be materialistic. Give your soul to Krishna. This is what I can say to you. I can tell you, chant Hare Krishna. Give everything to Krishna. Whatever ashram you may be in. Everyone who comes to Krishna, now devotees are being initiated. That initiation means Dikka Kale Bhakta Kare Atta Samarpan. At the time of initiation, a devotee offers himself. So if we say to Krishna, now Krishna, I'm offering myself to you, but I'm keeping the bank balance. You can have me, but the bank balance I'm keeping for myself. That is not the meaning of Atma Samarpan. Give oneself to Krishna. And of course, householders, they have to look after their families also. They require to have some money. And in the modern age, yeah, there are so many artificial needs. They've become practically like needs in modern life. But don't be materialistic. And don't be egoistic. I can't help you. I'm supposed to help you to advance in devotional service. This is the task that is given to me. By attempting to help you, then I have to help myself also. I'm automatically helped. But I can't help you if you cultivate a different attitude. If you're being materialistic, then I can't help you. It's like pouring petrol on the fire with one hand and water with the other. You can chant Hare Krishna, but there's no appreciable advancement if we are simultaneously performing activities which inhibit the growth of Krishna consciousness. So if we're materialistic, if we don't follow... Materialism means if we have an attitude that I want to be recognized, I want money, I want to live comfortably, all these things. Of course, we're all conditioned souls. That is understood. But we should cultivate. Krishna consciousness means a cultivation of anukulyasya sankalpa, that which is favorable for devotional service. So we should cultivate that. There's no use to cultivating a materialistic mentality. We should follow the rules and regulations. We should not be materialistic. We should not be egoistic. We're all egoistic to some extent or other, thinking of I, me and mine. What prevents us? Ahamma meti. What prevents us from being fully Krishna conscious? Srila Prabhupada often said that sadhu logon ko baithne ka prabandh kijiye, ek aasan dijiye unke liye. Hindi anuvad ho raha hai wahan par, yadi aap hindi mein se sunenge, aur unke liye aasan ka prabandh kijiye. So yes, Srila Prabhupada said that we can be Krishna conscious in a second if we so desire. In a moment. So what is preventing? It's our own egoism. Thinking, ahamma meti. I, me and mine. So the process of Krishna bhakti is supposed to take us out of it and bring us to the aham mama platform. Aham Krishna Dasa. I am Krishna's. I am Krishna's servant. And in the advanced stage, devotees also say, the Krishna is mine. Dhanma Nityananda. Our wealth is Nityananda. Pati Ma Gaurachandra. Our master is Gaurachandra. So this egoism, it stands in the way of our being Krishna conscious, of being fully surrendered servants of Krishna. So we come to Krishna consciousness to learn, to become purified. There are three classes of people. Of course, people can be classified in so many ways. As Karmis, Jnani, Yogi, Bhakta, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. There are so many classifications. But one classification is that some people learn by hearing. Some people learn by experience. And some people don't learn at all. So, to come to Krishna consciousness or to accept a guru means to come to become the best class of person. Means one who has committed to the principle of learning by hearing. And often that's mixed also. We hear and then we have experience and we put the two together and we understand. Often it happens that a brahmachari gets married and then his faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam increases tremendously. He says that actually it's true. Everything in the Bhagavatam about the miseries of family life is actually true. So then he has more faith. He didn't learn by hearing. Then he had the experience. Then he put the two together and realized actually the Bhagavatam is correct. So it's better to learn just by hearing. Now, it's very common. Actually, every time. Every time it happens. That people are surprised. They thought, well, the Bhagavatam, it sounds very it sounds extreme. Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hi tucham. Prahlad Maharaj, 5-year-old boy, who later got married, but he didn't become a grihamedi, one who was tied up to the post of family life. He was liberated so long. So Prahlad says that the happiness in family life is insignificant. Kanduya nena kariya iva dukkha dukkha. It's like the pleasure that is experienced in when one is feeling an itch, scratch it, and it feels some relief. The second you stop, you find that the itching has increased. So in material life, activities to try to mitigate the suffering, they increase the suffering. So then you scratch harder, and then it becomes bloody and infected. It just gets worse and worse and worse. Therefore, Prahlad recommends that those who are dhira, they don't scratch. Don't scratch at all. Don't engage in sense gratification. So some people learn by hearing, some people learn by experience, and some people don't learn at all. Why is it that some people don't learn? Because they don't... The real learning is by hearing. One can learn by experience that this world is miserable. But usually that experience has to be with hearing, because our natural ego of being a servant of Krishna, that is covered by material desire. Jnanam avritya dehinam. Material desire covers our natural knowledge by which we understand that we are servants of Krishna. That is covered by material desire, which solidifies into our ego of thinking. Ishvaroham, aham bhogi, siddhoham, balavan, sukhi. I, this particular body that we have, and the persona that goes with it, I am in control. I am happy, I am enjoying myself. Everything I do is perfect. So, everything is nice. No problem. We say no problem, but we're full of problems. Because of material desire, our knowledge is covered, so that even though we experience all the time misery, we don't learn. Therefore, we have to hear. Janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. This material life means the miseries of birth, the miseries of death, the miseries of old age, and the miseries of disease. But we don't see that. We see, but we don't see. Pashyanapi na pashyati. So we have to learn by hearing. Then we can see. We see every day people are dying. But it takes someone to point. You see, death, that is miserable. You also have to die. That is miserable. See, birth, in the womb, the child is suffering. The mother is suffering. You also have to suffer. Death means you have to be born again and suffer again and again. So we have to hear. Then we can. And by hearing mixed with experience, then we learn. Experience means that generally we're not that intelligent to learn only by hearing. Therefore, Krishna gives us many difficulties. When there are many difficulties, one who has heard, he understands. This is for my benefit. Krishna is giving me difficulties just to help me to understand how miserable is life in this material world, life without Krishna. And a neophyte devotee, when there's difficulties, they think Krishna consciousness doesn't work. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but still I'm having so many difficulties. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm Ishvara Oham Aham Bhogi, Siddha Oham Balavan Sukhi. I'm the best devotee, so there must be something wrong with the process. Let me go away. Or there's something wrong with all the devotees. So they go away. Because they never heard. The difference between a devotee who's advancing and a neophyte who never advances is that one who is advances by primarily by hearing. One may, just like there is Pashanapi na Pashyate, there is also Shrinvan api na Shrinvati. One who hears, but because the heart, there's so much self-confidence that it doesn't penetrate the heart. We had this personality development seminar in which they teach you to have self-esteem and be self-confident. Self-esteem means egoism. We should have seminars how to get free of self-esteem. How not to have self-esteem. This should be our seminar. Personality development means how not to have self-confidence. Self-confidence means one is a rascal. That's all. I can do everything by myself. This is rascal. Devotee is confident because he's confident of Krishna's protection. Devotee, he feels confident to go among all kinds of people because he's confident that Krishna wants me to do this and Krishna is protecting me. He doesn't think, I am doing it. As soon as one thinks, I am doing, then again he becomes vimura. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Ahamkara vimurhatma karta amiti namyata. One who thinks, I am doing everything due to ahamkara, egoism, is another vimura, another big fool. Not realizing that Krishna is the doer. So this egoism in devotional service, if one is egoistic, no one can help such a person. They may go on for years cultivating the mood of, I know everything, I'm right, I don't have to take guidance from others. We see many times someone joins, they're very humble, and then by the grace of Krishna, they get some position, some ability, and then they lose the track of Krishna consciousness. And they start to think that now I'm best, I know everything, and I'm asking that, of course, those who have gone down this track, there's not much you can do for them. Because it seems to them that they're doing very nicely. They can sing nicely, they can play the mridanga nicely, they can learn shlokas, they can preach. It looks that they're doing very well. But I may look and see they're not going anywhere. Because they think that I'm doing very well. If one thinks I'm doing very well, then one cannot improve. You're stuck because of some material ability, which is also given by Krishna. One is able to do something, and one thinks, just see, I'm doing so much. So it's a very dangerous attitude, and we can only pray to Krishna that he smashes them. And they come to their senses. Otherwise, what hope is there for them? So many times we saw, it's not pleasant to say, but we saw within our society someone who had accepted the sannyas order of life. Sannyas, they are addressed as Swami, Master. Everyone is supposed to bow down to them. They take the position of a master. But then they start to think, I am the master. And due to that, they become egoistic. And they fall down, and then you see them, sometime later, being bossed around. They become bossed around by some... Before they had so many women bowing down to them, now they have to bow down to their wife. They just say, yes, whatever. They have to... The wife says, take the dog for a walk. They have to take the dog for a walk. He was chastising others. Now he's being chastised by her. Becomes a pathetic situation. So, be careful. Please be careful. Everyone who comes into Krishna consciousness, they come in hopefully with some humility. But then as you go on, get some confidence, maybe recognized as a senior devotee. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous situation. Success is the pillar of failure. We do well, and we think I'm doing very well, and then we lost. We lost everything. So be very careful. What was Srila Prabhupada's most common instruction to his disciples? What do you think? Who's read all of Srila Prabhupada's letters? Anyone? You've read them all? If we see Srila Prabhupada's letters, we'll find that the most common instruction he gave to all his disciples was chant 16 rounds daily without fail and follow the raw four regulated principles. You may think, well, we all know that. But Srila Prabhupada reiterated it again and again and again. Because if we compromise with this, then we're finished. Which we see. Anyone who compromises with the four regulated principles or chanting 16 rounds daily, it's just a matter of time before they lose the thread of Krishna consciousness altogether. So this is the most basic principle. And we're asking everyone to go out, distribute books, preach, so many established farm communities, so many big, big things. The most basic thing. Chant 16 rounds daily, follow the four regulated principles. If we lose that, then again, we've lost everything. That's why Srila Prabhupada, even though his disciples had taken the vow to do so, Srila Prabhupada saw that in the modern age, people take vows and they're so low class that they renege on their vows. As Srila Prabhupada once said, he was asked about devotees who do not chant 16 rounds. Srila Prabhupada said, they're not devotees. He said, they are animals. Because they took a vow to chant, and they're not chanting. That means they're not even human beings. Because a human can take a vow. An animal cannot take a vow. So if they take a vow and they don't follow it, that means they're animals. They're not actually even humans. What to speak of devotees? So Srila Prabhupada, while opening the doors to the spiritual world, he was also quite aware of, while giving initiation, he was quite aware of the weaknesses that his disciples were prone to. And he regularly would instruct that chant 16 rounds, minimum, daily. Follow the four regulated principles. Of course, it's common in Kali Yuga that even having become disciples, people don't follow. We hear in Buddhist stories of the disciple stands outside the cave in the cold snow, waiting for 3 days. The guru is inside the cave when the disciple or would-be disciple is almost dead from cold and starvation. Then the guru says, okay, alright, you've proved you're sincere, alright, come in the cave and I'll teach you all the nonsense that I learned as a Buddhist. So Srila Prabhupada didn't do that. He made nice facilities, gave nice prasadam. Mayamridam dayatepsitva anvadhava. This is described of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that traditionally disciples come to a guru, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he chased after the conditioned soul. He went after them. So gurus, they go out, come. Ow. Come. And they provide all kinds of facilities so that people will take Krishna consciousness seriously and become devotees. But we see that, of course, to become a devotee means nice facility, tasty prasadam, all these nice facilities. But there must be some test. There must be some tapasya, some austerity. There must be some difficulty. Otherwise, how will we know who's a devotee? And how will our material attachments be broken? So we find that disciples, it's common in Kali Yuga, that they go away from Krishna consciousness. They may blame their guru. They may make court cases against them. See, he misled me. And every day I had to get up in the morning early. And for so many years, I missed all the pleasures of life, like watching television and smoking cigarettes. My guru cheated me, so now I'm going to sue him in the court. And maybe in the Western countries it's quite possible that they sue their guru. What does it actually mean to be a disciple? There's one of the books, one of the many books that should be written, anecdotes of actual guru-disciple relationships. Especially in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. Ramanuja himself, his guru bhakti was such that he, as an acharya, he taught the world what it means to be the disciple. So the example is difficult to follow, but we should follow that example. We see also among the disciples of Srila Prabhupada how many, they gave their youth, they gave their energy to serve Srila Prabhupada. So this is the formula for success in spiritual life. As Srila Prabhupada many times emphasized, yasya prasadat bhagavan prasadat. We get the mercy of Krishna if the guru is pleased with us. And yasya aprasada nagati gati. And if the Guru is not satisfied, then we, whatever else we may be, we may be the greatest Madanga player in the history of the universe, we may have the sweetest singing voice, and we may be the best ever chapati maker, or the biggest book distributor, whatever it may be. But somehow or other, if we fail to satisfy Srila Prabhupada, then we don't make it. We don't get his mercy. Srila Prabhupada was exacting. Strict is an easy word. Yesterday we heard how I in Dubai had asked for the room to be cleaned before we had the program there. Of course, in these hotels, if we were to clean them properly, probably we wouldn't have started this program yet. We'd all be still cleaning the hotel. They're so dirty. But this I learned from Prabhupada. I didn't learn it from my teachers at school. I didn't learn it from my mother or father. But I learned this from Prabhupada. If we're going to serve Krishna, then we don't serve Krishna in a dirty place. We're going to serve Krishna in every detail. We should see to it. So today there's Brahmana initiation. Especially those who are Brahmanas, they should actually, for Brahmana initiation, there should be not simply a Shastric test, but we should see the behavior also. They should be regularly rising early, they should be very clean, they should know all the details of Vaishnava behavior. Otherwise, it looks odd that we have the audacity to initiate people as Brahmins, people from families of beef eaters. And what is our lineage? You see, the Brahmana in India means someone who's born in a Brahmana family. So they can tell their whole family line, going back to Lord Brahma through the rishis, all great people. And our family line, we don't even know our... Let me see. Yeah, okay. I do know the names of both of my grandfathers. I just... My bodily grandfather. I had to think a bit, but I remembered them. But beyond that, we don't know. But we do know they're all generations of beef eaters. The English pride themselves on being beef eaters. So this is our Vamsha Parampara. So if we are giving Brahminical initiation to people from Western countries, or people from non-Brahmana families, then they should know how to behave also as Brahmanas. Not that they're carrying their shoes in the same hand as their bead. They have their bead bags and their shoes together, for instance. Or they're not clean. Or they don't rise early in the morning. Then all these things, Brahmanas especially, anyone can chant Hare Krishna. There should be some purification. That should be seen in one's behavior. Wasting money. Brahmana doesn't waste money because he knows anything that comes to him that's being offered to a Brahmana, that means it's offered by the person who's offering because they're thinking that if I offer this to this person, they will use it all in the service of Krishna. Not like me, I use my money for sense gratification. But this person will use it for Krishna. So this money which has come to my hand, which is the cause of me going to hell, that is offered, I'm offering to the Brahmana because they will use it in the service of Krishna. So we should not waste money. We should not live like princes. Sadhus are supposed to live simply, especially those who are living in the ashram. Sadhu is supposed to live simply. They may be called Maharaj, but they're not supposed to live like this Raja. Sadhu should live very simply. Of course, for preaching, one may accept comfortable facilities, but only for preaching, not for one's own sense gratification. We should be very careful about this. Srila Prabhupada wrote that we can accept millions of dollars for Krishna's service, but if we use one farthing for sense gratification, well, that actually, yeah, this is a perfect question, perfect answer. Srila Prabhupada says, if we use one farthing for sense gratification, then we go to heaven. So be very careful. All these points. Don't waste Krishna's energy. Turn the fans off if you're not using them. Turn the lights off if you're not using them. Don't keep the engine of a vehicle running on and on and on without any purpose. So, Srila Prabhupada was exacting. I learned this from him. I admit that it's not easy to be my disciple. I don't think that I'm meant to give you an easy time. I don't think it's my duty to make life easy for you. Srila Prabhupada said that the guru, he should chastise the disciple even if he's not doing anything wrong. Anyway, he should chastise. That sounds cruel, doesn't it? Sounds egoistic. Sounds like an imbalanced person. But should do that. Even if someone's not doing anything wrong, then the latent doing wrongness should be checked. So now I'm initiating today more disciples. Srila Prabhupada said that all of his disciples should have at least 10,000 disciples. So I don't have so many. And I'm not moving very quickly toward that figure, nor am I counting the numbers. But I'm not. When or when will that day be mine? In that way. But already there are more disciples than I can personally deal with on a day-to-day basis. So I request those who are more senior among my disciples to guide those who are junior. Srila Prabhupada also did this as a matter of necessity. In the early days, he personally guided all his disciples, but it very soon came to a situation where he personally interacted extensively with a few who he then expected to interact with others. So that's normal for any guru who has more than a small number of disciples. So please take guidance from my senior disciples. It's not that I like you less if I don't interact with you more. Krishna says, I reciprocate with people according to their how they approach me, and that's natural for everyone. So those devotees who come forward, who are eager to do service, who are actually cultivating or developing the qualities of a Vaishnava, who are trying to perform service selflessly, well, naturally that is noticed, and appreciated. But it may be that some of the more advanced devotees are than those who are not noticed for them. It's not that one has to be noticed. Srila Prabhupada himself said that I didn't meet with my Guru Maharaj more than a dozen times. So he must have seen him, I mean, but personally interacting with him, talking extensively, maybe no more than a dozen times. Srila Prabhupada wasn't considered a very important member among the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But it was later seen how he got the full mercy of his Guru Maharaj. He didn't push himself forward to be prominent, but he became prominent by his service mentality. So, Krishna consciousness is ahaituki apratihata. Anyone in any situation can serve Krishna fully. And I practically see, or in my judgment, I can see that maybe some of my most advanced disciples, who I consider, there may be some of the housewives, some of the matajis, who are, they're not the ones who are seen or prominent, but some of them are very diligently performing their devotional service and bringing up their, serving their husbands and looking after their children in a very pure and surrendered mood of Krishna consciousness. So, it's of course we want devotees to come forward and perform activities in Krishna's service to promote the Krishna consciousness movement. But whatever situation we're in, even one which seems to be, which seems to limit our activities in Krishna consciousness, if we sincerely try to serve Krishna, then definitely Krishna will notice that and appreciate that. We saw Srila Prabhupada's sister, who she lived for a few years after Srila Prabhupada departed this world. She lived in ISKCON Mayapur in the last years of her life. And it was quite apparent to everyone, it wasn't questioned, that she was a pure devotee of Krishna. She spent all her life being what to external vision, and she was a pious Hindu housewife. But in her household life, she cultivated pure devotional service to Krishna. It wasn't just that because Prabhupada was her brother, because Srila Prabhupada, we see his own children didn't take up Krishna consciousness very seriously. It was her own commitment to Krishna consciousness. So everyone in every station of life is eligible to be a pure devotee. There is no obstacle if we are sincere to be pure devotees. So I turned out grihasthas. I just said, have as many children as you want if you make them Krishna conscious. That's very good. That's one way to make devotees. If you're not able to go out and preach, you can request Krishna to send some devotee into your home. You have the great opportunity to serve the children. If you call, pray to Krishna to send you devotees, you have the opportunity to serve devotees. And at some time in life, you can also renounce your family life. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to take sannyas, but it also doesn't mean that you have to spend your whole life until you drop dead working and looking after the children and all this kind of thing. One can withdraw There's vanaprastha life. Some may take sannyas. That's not for many. But vanaprastha means that when the children are grown up, you don't have to spend all your life just absorbed in family activities with some Krishna conscious added. But you can fully serve the mission as husband and wife also. Just like, for instance, I see Radha Radhya Prabhu and his wife. He's retired and she's retired. She's also working as a teacher, I believe. And they took an apartment close to the temple in Bala Vidyanagar. And they're doing full-time service. And they also have their grandchildren and grandchildren. But the focus of their life is full-time service to Krishna. So those of you who are in grihastha life, you can think like this. Make your plans that when the children are older, that they've set up their own family, then we should engage fully in Krishna's service. And those of you who have reached that age, you can come out, get the children married, and engage fully in Krishna's service. So, Srila Prabhupada, as I noted yesterday, we all know very well, Srila Prabhupada said, kindly help me. So, you can kindly help me. I can also say the same to you by being exemplary devotees of Krishna, exemplary followers of Srila Prabhupada. There are many tasks that Srila Prabhupada wanted to perform, so that haven't been performed, or that haven't been fully performed by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. So whoever takes it up will get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Establishing farm communities, distributing millions of books, that's going on, can go on more. Establishing gurukuls. So that will be done eventually. We don't want it to go on and on and on, just like generation after generation. Eventually, Bhagirath brought Ganga to Ganga Sagar. So we don't want it to go on generation after generation. In this generation, in your generation, now it's with you, all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples are day by day practically. Not a week goes by without one or more of Srila Prabhupada's disciples passing away. So the movement that Srila Prabhupada gave, it's in your hands more and more. So many things are to do. Farm communities, gurukuls, research institutes. Srila Prabhupada wanted universities, Krishna conscious universities. So many things to do. Establishing Vanashram, ideal family life. There's so much work to do. As far as I'm concerned, I have also some personal tasks which are pending, personal tasks in the service of Krishna. I have so many notes to be assembled into books, important books. So, at the rate I'm going, which is very slow, I don't see that, unless I have an extended lifespan, I don't see that I'm going to be able to assemble all these notes into books before I leave this body. So, among my disciples, someone may, if that's not all done, then someone may take those notes and assemble them, because there are various important topics that I have to write books about. Sometimes I'm criticized for producing books, and then my disciples sell them and read them, and people say that, well, shouldn't we only read Prabhupada's books? Well, of course, Srila Prabhupada We know that Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to write books. And although it's true that my disciples do read my books and distribute them, it's also true that, of course, I didn't make any statistical survey, but I would, it seems that on average, the average disciple of mine compared to the average devotee within ISKCON today, apart from reading my books and distributing my books, they also read and distribute Prabhupada's books more than the average devotee in ISKCON. So, read Prabhupada's books, I'm always telling you. Distribute Prabhupada's books, I'm also telling you. Always telling you. Many of you are kindly doing that. And I also have a mission within Prabhupada's service, so you can also read and distribute my books. Distribute my books means especially at devotee gatherings, at the Mayapur festival, Vyasa Puja ceremonies of my godbrothers. There are other ways also, through the internet and this. My books are in pursuance of, not in competition with Srila Prabhupada's books. So, please remain faithful on the path of devotional service. It seems inevitable that of those who come into Krishna consciousness, some go out. We don't want that it should happen. It should not happen. But regularly we see that those who accept initiation vows, they, not all of them, but some of them fall away. It's unfortunate, but it seems to be a fact of life in the modern age. So, I request you again, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulated principles, study Prabhupada's books, follow this program daily. You should have to hear and chant about Krishna. We have to have a strong foundation. I don't speak very much about Krishna's pastimes. I see that Srila Prabhupada mostly spoke on topics of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So this gives a strong foundation. Keep the foundation strong. Then everything else can develop very nicely. We should all hear about the pastimes of Krishna. But daily we should make our foundation strong by hearing the topics of Bhagavad Gita. We are not the body. We are meant for service to Krishna. We are not meant for sense gratification. We should hear this again and again. As Srila Prabhupada spoke it again and again. I personally saw Srila Prabhupada. It was later we were to know that it was just a month before he left our personal presence. I saw him preaching to him, surrounded by senior disciples who had been with him for many years, preaching to them. He could hardly speak. Physically, we could say, he could hardly speak. But he spoke about how we have to control the tongue, because the tongue drags us to hell. That was a lesson for me. That we need to keep to the basics. I see some devotees, they like to speak a lot about, or discuss a lot about, various pastimes of Krishna, especially esoterica. One devotee recently came to ISKCON Baroda. I was present there. He was not from ISKCON, he was from another mat. And he was going around the devotees and trying to convince them that in ISKCON you don't get enough, of, you don't get the real thing. And he asked one of my disciples, do you know the name of Krishna's monkey? Which he didn't. And this was to demonstrate the point that in ISKCON we don't teach you everything you need to know. Now, Srila Prabhupada, I don't find that he taught the name of Krishna's monkey. But he did teach Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Over and over. And even if you ask Prabhupada what is the name of Krishna's monkey, it, of course it's very difficult to predict what Prabhupada would say, but he sometimes called his own disciples monkeys. How will that help us in advancing in Krishna consciousness? We can talk, praying, Ras Lila, and so many things. But entry there is only by full surrender. So if we fully surrender, then everything becomes revealed in due course of time. This much I've heard from Srila Prabhupada. I trust him. And I trust that if I follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, he will bestow his mercy on me. And however that mercy comes, I want it. I want to be like Srila Prabhupada. I've seen in the course of my life many sadhus, respectable, elevated persons. But in my outlook, it may be subjective, but I didn't see anyone like Srila Prabhupada. No one who was so much absorbed in Krishna, giving others to Krishna. So, I want to be like Srila Prabhupada. I want to have his mercy. If I can be even one particle of as he is, then certainly that I would consider that the greatest perfection. I've seen many sadhus who speak of very intimate leelas, but somehow it didn't touch me in the same way that Prabhupada did. So I am teaching you, or attempting to teach you, in the same way that Srila Prabhupada did, with the my aim, because I have seen my aim of life is if I can somewhat reflect the qualities of Srila Prabhupada or be imbued with the mercy, his mercy, to be like him, I want to give that to you. That's my outlook. So I have faith. He said that I don't think that Prabhupada is cheating me, that if we simply follow what he has given us, then everything will come into course of time. Everything that is required for our service to Krishna, he will provide that. So in that spirit, I am attempting to instruct you. So I know that Prabhupada was not cheating us. So please don't think that I'm cheating you if I don't tell you the name of Krishna's monkeys, or I don't talk about how the gopis' ankle bells are jingling in Ras Lila, and instead I tell you that you have to rise early in the morning and chant 16 rounds. Because I see that many who talk about this high topics, they don't rise early in the morning. Maybe they think they were dancing all night with the gopis. I don't know. Maybe they were. I don't know. I can't say. I doubt it. But I know that Srila Prabhupada told us to rise early and chant 16 rounds. So that's what I tell you to do. And if you are dancing with the gopis all night, actually, then you should still rise early. Because Krishna dances all night with the gopis, and he gets up. He doesn't sleep all morning. So, please don't think that I'm cheating you. I'm quite confident that I don't want to be a cheater. I know I'm not advanced in devotional service, but I don't want to be a cheater. I don't want to be unfaithful to Srila Prabhupada. That would be the worst thing of any of us could ever do. So please be faithful to Srila Prabhupada and follow his instructions, and in this way your life will be perfect in all respects. We're going to conclude this program. There will be the initiation ceremony, and after that probably everyone will be anxious to take prasadam, although some may be fasting fully. So although the program is not finished, we should thank the devotees who have organized this program. They have not organized it so that they could be thanked, but anyway, we should thank them. I thank all of you for coming here. There's no festival without participants. So the more who come, the better. The more devotees who join in Sankirtan, the more it is Sankirtan, because Sankirtan means in association of devotees. So thank you all for coming. Please come again and again to join these festivals. Don't be a festival-only devotee. Make every day a festival. Every day we should hear and chant in association of devotees. So we'd like to thank Radhesh Prabhu with his team, has organized this festival. And he knows better than...